Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Is that the end? Okay.
And we love you, Eric, and this congregation. We're praying for you, and we suffer with you, and we walk with you. And I just want to thank Manny so much for who you've been to a lot of us. Manny has been doing a lot of pastoral care for a lot of people, and myself included, and I just appreciate that. And appreciate your words. Stuff is hard, and we got to learn how to do the hard things sometimes, getting out of our comfort zones. We don't know what our gifts are until we start experimenting sometimes. And I've told this congregation before, sometimes I have dreams about untapped potential in this church. And I do, I still believe that. I believe there's untapped gifts and untapped potential here, and we just got to experiment and get out of our comfort zones to find. And so I really appreciate Manny and your words. Interesting text with two seemingly unrelated thoughts. The first two verses about kind of vain work, and the last three about the blessings of children. And they're two different paragraphs, I guess, that stand well in isolation. They have a lot of meaning separate. But I wonder if they're tied. I wonder if there's a connected meaning there. I think there is. Let's look at this first section, verses 1 and 2, talking about vain work. Have you ever worked in vain? Done a bunch of work that just felt like, well, there was no reason to do that. Well, that was all for nothing. One of my least favorite chores is raking leaves. I have three huge pecan trees, and they're just leaves after leaves after leaves. And I can sit there, and I can rake them for hours, and then just days later, more is going to blow in. And it just feels like, well, this is an endless task, and it's all for nothing. My first least favorite chore is painting. You ever painted, and then you spend all this time painting, and then your wife's like, I don't think I like that color. That's never happened to me. That is not based on a true story. But if it did happen, that would be pretty frustrating, right? It would feel like it's all in vain. Any Lego people? Any of you guys like to play with Legos? Dude, I love Legos. Yes. And you're not too old for them. Yes, I love. But you ever made something with Legos, then like a little sibling or something breaks it, and then it was all for nothing. I spent all this time building this awesome thing, and it's gone now. It's really frustrating. Or maybe some of you at work have had this great idea for a new project, something new you want to roll out, and you put a lot of thought into it. You got this grand idea, and you present it to the board or to the boss, and it gets shut down. And you just feel like, oh, all that was in vain. It was for nothing. It's frustrating. Work for nothing is frustrating. I don't want to waste my time and my energy on pointless work. That's kind of what it's talking about here. But when it lists these things, building a house, guarding a city, like making sure you're getting food, like that doesn't seem pointless. That doesn't seem like vain work. That sounds like productive work. So what makes this work vain? In short, it's work that takes place outside of God. Work that isn't blessed. Maybe is it blessed by God? Work that isn't for God. Work that doesn't have God and what he wants in the back of your mind. Maybe even work that at the heart doesn't trust in God. So I don't trust in God, so I got to protect myself. Or like the parable that Jesus tells, I don't really trust in God, so I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to hoard. I'm going to overplan. Because I'm not really sure if I can count on God, so I'm just going to do this myself. Some versions of this text use the phrase anxious toil or anxious work. Work, and so when I think of anxious work, I think of work that is driven by fear. Work that's driven by fear for survival. Or work that's driven by fear of not being accepted. I want to be seen as good. I want to be seen as valuable. I want to be seen as wanted. So I'm going to work to prove myself. But it's work that ends, it never produces enough. That's anxious work. I got a picture here. It's an old painting of the Tower of Babel. And it's really theologically driven. If you look close, you can see the Tower of Babel was anxious work. It was man working to prove how great they were. Man trying to seek approval, seek to prove how awesome and how powerful and how smart they are. And sometimes that's what anxious work does. We're trying to prove ourselves somehow. But I like how the artists who painted it, they put it on unlevel ground. And they're kind of saying, hey, this was doomed from the beginning. The ground was unlevel. You can already see some of the arches were already crumbling before it even started because it was anxiety-driven work built on pride. And it was doomed to fail. Some of our work, some of what we do, some of our pursuits are anxiety-driven. I have to have enough to retire. I have to pay the bills. I need a nicer car. I need to be able to live in that neighborhood. Or I have to have nice enough things to be in the right circle of people. I got to prove myself. I got to prove my worth. But underneath all that is an anxiety. An anxiety to prove that you're valuable. An anxiety to be cared for. And there's just so much in Scripture where God is saying, I want to remove that anxiety. You don't need to have that. You are cared for and you belong. But sometimes we don't believe that. And on the other side of that, when I think about the fruit of our work, our houses, our safe communities, our well-fed families that have everything they need. Sometimes, maybe as a father, as a provider, we look and think, I did this. You're welcome, family. This is a product of all my hard work. You're welcome for what I've given you. And this passage, it reminds us that unless God blesses it, unless God blesses it, unless God wills it, without his help, it's not happening. God cleared the path for you. I think that's something important. Sometimes we think we are self-made. But he gave you those talents. He gave you those skills. He gave you that drive. He may have even given you the start to be able to achieve whatever your version is of financial success. And so it's really important that we proceed accordingly, that we realize, hey, even though it feels like I really worked for everything I have, we really need to acknowledge that, well, outside of God, I wouldn't have these things. It's still God who blesses. It's still God who gives. And it's cool that God let me feel like I'm a part of it in some way. It's great that God let me feel like I can engage with this. And I think it's really like that with everything, isn't it? God is the one who gives. God is the one who blesses. And sometimes he lets us take some small part in that, some small part in providing for our family, some small part in bringing others to Christ, some small part in blessing the church. But it's ultimately God who does that. But what an honor that he lets us take some small part in that. But when it comes to our financial care, we need to remember, even though it feels like I earned all this, it's still God who's ultimately giving and who ultimately put us in this situation to do that. So we need to proceed accordingly. Use all that we've been blessed by to fill our hearts with gratitude, not pride, and maybe use that to bless others. And like I said, I know we all want to be self-made. We want to be proud and say, I did it. And again, you have a part in it. But we need to give credit where credit's due. Something I just, based on some conversation I've had, I feel like I should say this. Abilene has a lot of wealthy Christians. And really, if you look around the world, there's a lot of poor Christians. There's also a lot of wealthy Christians. Healthy, wealthy Christians know that the Lord gives and that the Lord takes away. I've actually heard some healthy, wealthy Christians say that in here. Hey, God's given a lot to me. God's blessed me a lot. And I know that at any moment, God could take this away. That's a pretty healthy mindset to have about wealth. They know where their wealth comes from. So they're quick to share and they're quick to bless others. They use the good things that God has given them to bless others in the kingdom. I think that's nice. I think it's hard. You know, the scriptures say, hey, it's hard to be rich and be a Christian, but it is possible. As a minister, as an individual, probably all of us can think about a time that we've been blessed by a healthy, wealthy Christian who gives to the church, who gives to missions. One of them helped put my wife through college. I think that's important to note, that there is a way to navigate that. But if you look at verse 2 here, it ends with, he grants sleep to those he loves. Knowing God is the ultimate provider, you can rest easy. You don't have to be caught up in anxious work all the time because you know God is going to take care of you. And that is a repeat theme in Scripture, is it not? God might even bless you while you do nothing. Has that ever happened? You ever just had God's blessings fall in your lap without any work at all? You might even have a great time. You might even have the time of your life. And he might bless you. A repeat theme in the scripture. Remember, Jesus says on this subject, hey, consider the lilies. They don't toil or spin, but God takes care of them. I wish I could live like I believe that all the time. Okay, so what about the second part of the psalm? When I think about some of the greatest blessings in my life, the things that fill my heart with joy and hope, the things that if I lost, I would be devastated. It's not my car. It's not a boat. It's not nice clothes. It's my relationships. It's my family. And really, about a month ago, we looked at Ecclesiastes 4, 8 through 12, and it really had a similar message to what this is saying. If you remember that, there is a rich man, a guy who's built up all this wealth, but he looks around and he says, I have all this wealth, but I have no one to share it with. I have no one to bless. And so he kind of realizes that, yeah, I'm chasing wealth, but in reality, there are more important things that I should be focusing on, maybe more important things that God gives. I think that's what this second part is about. But if you want to get real technical, for a lot of us, some of our greatest blessings are our kids. And so the second part is all about the blessing of kids. And I really do think it's connected with the above. It's almost giving an example. And we're speaking in generalities here. A lot of us have kids. Some of us don't have kids yet. Some people struggle with infertility, and the scripture speaks to that in a lot of ways. Some have chosen not to have kids. And I know some of us have been like, God's been like, here's some twins, and here's some twins again. So a lot of us have had different experiences with kids. Every experience is unique and different. But this is saying children are this blessing from God. It's a reward from it. It's something that's really almost a grace. You didn't really do a whole lot to earn these kids. You can't create life. God does that. Ultimately, it is God who is involved in this miracle of life. It is God who takes part in the ensoulment of a human being. God puts the soul in there. You didn't do that. We have no real part in that. Well, just the fun part, right? We just receive God's blessing. The text above is saying, you can do all this work, but it's really God who blesses. You can rest, and God still blesses. Then these last three verses about the blessing of children are the ultimate example of how God blesses when honestly you're just having a good time. You can work and you can do all these things, but look at the greatest blessing in life. You didn't have to work for it. It wasn't that hard. God just gave. And I really do think that is the point that the text is making. You can anxiously work all you want, but God can easily give without you really doing much at all. And the blessing of children is really an example of that. Some of the greatest things that we hope for, some of the things we pursue, some of the things we really want. God can give, but two, God can give without all of that work. Some of God, the best blessings, God just hands to us. And so when I was reading this scripture, I couldn't help but think about Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You can work and do whatever you want, but ultimately, God will do his will, and he is the one who gives and who blesses. Or maybe you've heard this one. Man plans, God laughs. I actually really like that saying. But for a while, I didn't like it because I think the way it was introduced to me was like on a throw pillow or something. You know, I was like, did Bed Bath & Beyond like make up this phrase? But it's actually, it's a old like Yiddish proverb. So it's not in the Bible, but it's based on scripture. And that's where these guys came up with this. Man plans, God laughs. Have you ever experienced that? You ever had God just rattle your plans? You're working and pursuing this, but then God's like, hey, I got something better for you right here. That was my experience. As a young married couple, we had that 5-year plan. I've talked to other friends who had the 5-year plan too. You know, we're gonna become financially stable. We're gonna buy a house, kind of build up our empire, we're gonna feel financially secure. And then we're gonna have kids. And I think that's a really good plan. In hindsight now, I don't know if I would have ever felt ready. I don't know how big I would have faithlessly tried to build up my empire before I had kids. But after 1 year of marriage, God was like, here, have a baby. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I'm not ready for this. I'm young. I remember driving home from the hospital with little baby Layla in the car seat and looking at those nurses and thinking, you shouldn't let us do this. This isn't okay. And then 1 year later, God was like, have a ginger baby. And that was not my plan. But I just couldn't imagine any other way. I am glad that God foiled my plans. I am glad that all the blessings that I thought, all the good things I was going to start chasing, that God said, I'll do you one better. I will give. I will freely give something so much better, so much more powerful than what you yourself are pursuing. I'm glad God is in charge, and I am reminded that he is the one who blesses, and I don't just bless myself. His work is what really matters. And I love that I get to be a part of it. I love that we all get to be a part of it and feel important and feel like what we're doing is important. But we have to remember that it is ultimately God. And he's just letting in, it is an honor to be a part of whatever God is doing. And it is ultimately, we might share faith with people. We might bring people to Christ. But it is ultimately God who does the saving. It is God who does the giving. And it is God who makes the sinner whole and right. I'm glad God foiled my lame plans and did something difficult. It was hard being a young dad. But I grew a lot, and it was way more rich and way more exciting than anything I could have hoped for. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Some of us have been showered with the awesome blessing of children, a blessing richer and better than what we could try to earn for ourselves. And this psalm just that reminds us that the best of what we have in life, whether it be kids or relationships or something else, it comes from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it is a grace that our hard work can't earn. Whatever you do by yourself with your hard work, it has nothing. It can't compare to what God has for you. So this morning I want to ask you, is there some anxious work that you're just kind of striving for in vain? Some pursuits that you have that God really isn't part of? And you need to reevaluate that and turn that over to God. Or are you taking too much credit for the blessings in your life? Are you taking too much credit for the blessings God gave and kind of saying, I earned it? Maybe starting to have a big head. I'm better than people. I got this figured out. Not acknowledging, oh no, it's God who's made me who I am. Do you need to acknowledge some blessing in disguise? Something that maybe didn't feel like a blessing, or you felt like you weren't ready for it, but it's been life-altering. Maybe it is them kids that drive you nuts. You need to stop and realize, hey, I love these kids. These kids are a blessing. So as we gather together today as a community formed and shaped by Christ, we are reminded of the blessing of which we've all received, God's love and Christ's sacrifice, the forgiveness of sins, to be seen as right. We all want to be right. We talked about being right in Bible class. Well, in God's eyes, we are right. No amount of hard work and toil can earn that. It's been freely given by Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you want to be immersed in his blessing and his forgiveness through baptism, or if you have any need at all, your church family is here and we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.